Hi, I'm Connie Kaplan, and welcome to the Invisible Garment Podcast, where we discuss spiritual principles, knitting, and the politics of ethical behavior. Episode 1, Placement. Today we'll talk about the spiritual principle of placement, connecting us to the micro-universes of our world. We'll talk about knitting our placement in the world by knitting socks. We'll talk about the politics of ethical behavior, the territorialism that is involved in the principle of placement. And we have a question from a listener: can this marriage be saved? And I have a closing surprise for you. I'm very excited about that. All right, today's principle is the principle of placement. This is the original principle, the zero principle. Placement. Establishing space. Placement is about how we are connected with the deepest and most important aspect of perceptual reality. Establishing ourselves in space. You know, quantum physics tells us that no two quanta can occupy the same space at the same time. And so there you have it. That's placement, the occupation of space. So therefore, everyone has a connection to the principle of placement because everyone has a body that occupies space. But some people are more rigid about it than others. Some people's boundaries are stronger. Some people are at home wherever they go, and they don't need to say, I own this and this is mine, while others do. Others need roots. So to the extent that we have that need to establish ourselves as located here and as owning and possessing this position, the principle of placement becomes more or less important to us. There are times in everyone's life when the principle of placement just demonstrates itself. For me, it's when I'm standing at the beach and I'm looking out at the water and I feel myself, you know, anchored in the sand, and yet I feel the fluidity of the air and the water all around me. It really locates me. Or on top of a mountain, not that I climb mountains that often, but on those occasions when I have found myself on top of a mountain and looking out at a beautiful vista and being aware of the intensity and the clarity of the air and of the view. Or maybe after a really successful meditation, there are times when you just, you've turned off your mind for a while, and when you stand up, your body feels so real and so solid. And at the same time, everything seems less important and less dense. Those are some of the times when placement really shows up in a positive way in your life. Now, on the negative side, when you come home and your house has been burglarized, placement really kind of jolts you. Or when you do something stupid, I don't know if you ever do this, but do you ever, like, you're not looking where you're going and you bump into a post or a tree or a building or something, and you realize, oh, wait, that place is already occupied. That's not the place that I'm supposed to be. Or after a little minor car accident and you realize that you've not been aware of how much space you have, how much you're allotted to occupy in that time. That's placement. It is about being positioned. Before we can do anything else or understand anything else or be anything else in life, we have to be established. It's the first of the ascending principles. It's what connects us to the micro universes of nature. And from there, we can connect all the way to God and back. But first, we must be established. We must be earthbound. Now, I know you're asking yourself, what does knitting have to do with the principle of placement? Well, in my world, knitting has to do with everything, so just get used to it. As I said, placement is about being connected on a microscopic level to life. Now, lately, I've been knitting socks. And in my teachings, placement is located or is anchored in the body, in the eyes, on the bottom of the feet. So as I'm knitting socks, each stitch becomes metaphorically like a step. These stitches create the pattern that swaddles the eye in the bottom of the feet. And the pattern makes the garment. And the pattern eventually is the path. In other words, we walk the steps that make the path that is our life. I don't know if you've ever experienced the luxury of wearing hand-knitted, perfectly fitting, totally foot-hugging socks. I'm sorry, it's a spiritual experience. You need to do it. There's another level at which knitting connects me to the principle of placement, and that is that I become connected to the microcosmic experience of the yarn, the feel of the yarn, the connection with the fiber, the appreciation for the animal or the plant from which it came, an awareness of the long tradition of creating this fiber in order to use these little tiny knots in order to create these garments. All of it, the whole knitting experience, becomes an experience with placement. Spiritually, when we become aware of the principles that guide our lives, they become the fibers that we spin to create the yarn that ties every little teeny tiny knot decision that we make, which creates the complexity of the fabric of the life that we live. So am I clear about that metaphor? To me, knitting and life are simply the same word. There's one more really important connection between placement and knitting. And that is a little teeny tiny note that we see often, and sometimes we don't see, and that's a problem, in a pattern, in a knitting pattern. It's small. It's just two little letters. And so it's easy to overlook. But it's the note PM. In knitting, PM doesn't mean anything about the afternoon. It means place marker. Mark your place. After every PM in a knitting project, you do things like repeat the instructions for a certain number of stitches, or note that a new round has just started, or start a new set of stitch instructions, all of which, when done correctly, creates the design of your fabric. Markers also help you figure out where you may have made a mistake, and they prevent hours and hours and hours of unraveling just to correct a mistake. So those PMs, those place markers, become, again, important metaphors, because we place markers in our life, throughout our lives. For example, music is a big marker. Whenever I hear My Girl by The Temptations, no matter how old I get, no matter how much my memory skills are faded, I am suddenly back at that National Guard Armory in Brownsville, Texas, dancing with my high school boyfriend, in love, out of my mind, in love, and that's that. That August night, the first time that happened, I got an instruction, PM. That marker has never faded. It serves as like a plumb line. Life before My Girl and life after My Girl. I also remember exactly where I was the first time I ever heard a Beatles song. And well, you know what I'm talking about. You have the same markers, albeit unique to your own purpose and experiences. Knitting also has been a way of placing markers in my life. When I first came to Los Angeles, I was working in the television industry mostly on like special event shows and variety specials back in those days. And post-production was a long process. It's the editing process. And post-production often took longer than pre-production in production. So at the beginning of each project, I would buy yarn so that I could knit during those tedious hours of editing. I still have most of the garments, although some were disasters and I threw them out. Too disastrous even to donate to Goodwill. But anyway, some of those garments that I do have still remind me of that particular show that I was editing when I knitted it. They're sweet memories for the most part. In fact, I hope that you're knitting or doing something similar right now and that you'll mark this garment that you're making as the one you were knitting when you started seriously rethinking your unconscious past markers, because that's what's important. Knitting reminds me how important those unconscious markers are. Because, you know, when a garment is done, it's important that you not keep the markers in place. When you bind off, you remove all of the markers. If you leave the markers in and walk around wearing them, you look silly and the garment looks silly. And so it is with life. One must consciously remove those markers. A well-lived life is not about reliving the past experiences over and over and over because you unconsciously have these markers placed that says, all right, here we go again, let's do this one more time. It's rather about recapitulating the past so that the invisible garment, our spiritual principles, not our bumpy life experiences, become the seamless fabric of our lives. Unconsciously held markers become the flaws in the garment that pull the attention off the beauty and toward the holes. Those flaws, if not consciously removed, prevent us from growing, from being aware and awake, and from really being accountable to our own choices. They inhibit us and trap us in old reactive behavior. Friends, it's time to RM. Remove the markers. Okay, so maybe I need to work on the my girl thing a little bit. Whatever. I'm calling this next section the politics of ethical behavior because I think as spiritual practitioners, we need to take back the word politics. Historically, it is an adjective, and it means that which is judicious and sensible in a certain circumstance. Now, political behavior in our world today is neither judicious nor sensible. So we need to take that word back. We need to reclaim it. Each of us has a specific spiritual principle which informs and influences our ethical decisions. And in this section of each podcast, I hope to discuss how the principle of the day, like placement today, operates in the world of ethics. Placement shows up in our culture in the form of ownership. And unfortunately, that sometimes means territorialism. It shows up in the way we create safe spaces in which we live, and we create our little desks or our safe spaces in which we work. It shows up when we develop a familiarity with the nature around us, with our environment, with our place in the world. Our neighborhoods become our territory. Now, in America, in the greater picture, the principle of placement was huge. It was what, you know, forming this country was all about. People came here from Europe misplaced because they wanted another placement. And so what did they do? They pushed the Native Americans who were already here and already had established their placement aside. And the principle of placement began to show up as a basic philosophical argument, even though we didn't use our words to create this argument, we used our bodies and our weapons, between the roaming Native American tribes and homesteaders, between people who thought the earth was here to be a dance, you know, a place that one moved, and people who wanted to establish themselves. So just in that example, we can see that placement does create something of a conflict between people who view it differently. I think also in our world, we see it in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It is as much about placement as it is about anything. And don't get me wrong, I am totally pro-Israel. I'm with them. I get it. But at the same time, I can imagine what it must have felt like in 1948 for all of those people who occupied that land to be told, okay, now this land belongs to somebody else. It is a classic conflict about the principle of placement. Now, when conflict comes up in regards to one of the spiritual principles, it is usually just a misunderstanding. It is the principles themselves do not create conflict. It is the understanding or the misunderstanding of the principle that creates the conflict. But as you can see, placement is one that actually often ends up creating war because people are willing to fight over their right to be in a certain place. When we mature our understanding of the principle of placement, we realize that territorialism in nationalistic opinions and capitalistic ownership of the earth is just an idea. It's not a reality. So it is the idea, it is the understanding or the misunderstanding that creates the war. And as spiritual practitioners, our job is to learn to be happy in the here and now, in the place where we are experiencing the here and now. This place is our present, and to learn to grasp the power of this place is to truly understand placement. I'm not saying to stop living in the consensus of our culture. I'm just saying we need to wake up to the deeper truth surrounding that consensus. I'm happy to report that even though this is the very first episode of the Invisible Garment podcast, I do have a question already from one of you. And I love this question. One student wrote and asked regarding the principle of placement. My husband and I have very different relationships to placement. He is a tidy freak and must have everything organized and in its place. Well, I kind of love the randomness of a little mess. Can you save this marriage? Now, fortunately, she put one of those little smiley faces after this question, so I'm not really dealing with a potential divorce here, so I feel a little bit relaxed about it. But I like this question because I think it, right there in a family situation, it points out how two people can look at the same principle with very different eyes. My response is, of course, that both of you bring something valuable to the relationship, and that value is more than just the obvious mundane lesson of learning to temper your obsessions so that you don't annoy each other to death. Learning to observe the power of placement, even if you don't have the principle in your own natural spiritual garment, gives you deep insight into the human condition. For example, I don't really understand the need to go to war, back to the politics of ethical behavior, but I can see in some people that it's very real. It's a need to protect. Some of us are in charge of the survival of the fittest. Women generally feel like they're in charge of survival of the species, and men generally feel like they're in charge of survival of the fittest. And so right there, we have the gender difference that is involved in placement. One needs to protect, even if it involves violence. The other knows that violence kills the babies. So the big placement question becomes, how do we teach respect other than by being respectful of the other person's passions? This is really the only the only path to a peaceful world. Being respectful of each other's passions and each other's opinions and each other's feelings while avoiding the violence of war. So anyway, back to the letter of the day. You may not think that you're contributing to world peace by tolerating your spouse's need for organization and tidiness, especially if it feels that his need is impinging on your need for spontaneity and seizing the moment. But you are. A peaceful household, one peaceful household at a time, creates a peaceful world. Thanks to Kevin Brennan for the music. To learn more about Kevin and his incredible wife, Robin, and their amazing creative projects, go to www.fboo.com. That's F as in Frank, Boo as in boo-boo. To learn more about your invisible garment, including the colors of your strands, and about dreaming as a spiritual practice, go to www.turtledreamers.com. In addition, when you're at turtledreamers.com, you can click on the archives of our newsletter and read more about the principle of placement. You can also order the invisible garment there if you don't own it and would like to. And you can go to our free dream space and share with other dreamers from around the world what you're dreaming, what you're thinking. Okay, now I have a surprise for you. There's this internet site called PodSafe Music, and it's filled with great music that artists have put there just for podcasters to use, and it's just like free in exchange for some airtime. So I'm hoping to find a cool little indie tune to go along with every podcast, sort of music to knit by or music to ponder today's principle by or to do whatever you're doing by. So this first one is by a band from Boston named Hair Club Faux Men. Not for men, but faux men. Hair Club Faux Men. It's entitled Going to That Place. And as you listen to it, I want you to pretend that it's your soul singing to you.
Remember once I took you to a place where there's only us two. Remember once I took you to a place where there's only me and you. When I miss you, sweet darling, I wish you'd meet me there too. Remember once I took you to a place where there's only us two. When I miss you, sweet darling, I wanna see you there. When I miss you, sweet darling, I wanna see you there. There ain't nowhere better where I can feel how much you care. There ain't nothing better. I wanna see you there. When the morning's rising out of the blackest night. When the morning's rising out of the blackest night, I'll hold you, darling, tell you everything's alright. When the morning's rising out of the blackest night. nothing better that's gonna fall on this sweet earth. There ain't nothing better that's gonna fall on this sweet earth. When you breathe like you want to, you ought to breathe with me. You just meet me there. I'm relying on just you and me to have that place as a calm and wondrous thing. There ain't nothing better than go by anything.
Was that great or what? Until next time, sweet dreams.